You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans who are listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, pitchers and catchers have reported to Port St. Lucie. Spring training is here, yet the Mets could still be making some more moves. They could still be adding some pitching, and that's what I want to talk about on today's show. Apparently, the Mets are linked to Taijuan Walker to maybe round out their rotation, so I'll talk about that in the first half of the show. Then later on the second half of the show, I want to talk about Jeremy Jeffries and Trevor Rosenthal, a few relievers the Mets are interested in. Before we get into any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So before we talk about Taijuan Walker, I need to address maybe the elephant in the room. Because last night, we got some news that was pretty sad. If you've ever been in Port St. Lucie, I've said this before. There's some things that transcend the game. There's some moments that can stick with you for a lifetime. And there's nothing like watching Tim Tebow pop out during a spring training game in the eighth inning where both teams are fielding a complete roster full of 99s. To see that in person, to see the way everyone looks up from their cell phones and finally see something worth watching as number 85 gets on deck and you see Tim Tebow in his hulked out, tight-fitting Mets jersey with that football body step up to the plate and look completely overmatched by a double-A pitcher. That is something that I'm going to miss. And to think that we were so close to more pop-outs, to a couple more strikeouts, maybe another misplayed ball in left field. It's a sad thing to know that Tim Tebow has decided to hang him up and retire. But in all seriousness, Tim Tebow, good dude. I think any minor leaguer that got the chance to be his teammate is happy that they were able to play with Tim Tebow. I think he was a overall net positive on the Mets organization. He was part of the team at a time where the Mets minor league system wasn't that great anyway. So I never felt like he took at bats away from a more deserving prospect. And I thought overall the Tim Tebow experience was a fun one. And I wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors, which I'm sure is a big broadcasting career that he was already undergoing while he was a Met. So good for Tebow. And you know what? The show probably did kind of run its course, so maybe it was time on all fronts for the Tim Tebow experience to come to an end. Now let's talk a bit about Taijuan Walker, who might actually impact the Mets winning or losing in 2021. As Andy Martino reports that he is a top target now for the Mets. Now you look at Walker throughout his career, he's been pretty solid. 3.84 ERA, 105 starts. Walker only made four starts from 2018 through 2019, dealing with injuries then in 2020, had a bounce back campaign, was healthy, ultimately pitched to a 2.70 ERA across 11 starts. That ERA was really lowered down the stretch when he was acquired by the Blue Jays midseason. And he pitched to a 1.37 ERA in six starts for Toronto, or where were they last year? Buffalo. But you look at the numbers and the peripherals, and I'm sorry, but Taijuan Walker does not impress me too much. His expected ERA, or xERA, was 4.87 in 2020. His xFIP, or expected FIP, was 4.82. So that tells you that he was the beneficiary of a lot of good luck, and the BABIP against him is another indicator of that luck, as batters hit 243 of balls put in play against Walker. Usually, when a ball is put in play, you're looking at a much higher BABIP, you know, 300 at least. So that is showing some good fortune. Then you look at his percentile rankings on Baseball Savant. His expected ERA was in the 29th percentile. His whiff percentage, the 13th percentile. A fastball velocity, the 21st percentile. Expected slugging, 26th. Expected batting average, 34th. Expected WOBA, 29th. I mean, bottom line, outside of hard hit percentage, he was in the lower half of all pitchers in baseball in all of these categories that they accumulate here. And the one that he was actually, you know, good in, the hard hit percentage, that, again, could be part of that good fortune where, for some reason, guys just weren't quite squaring him up, and that might have kind of averaged out over a full season, right? So I look at Taijuan Walker, who wants $10 million a year over multiple years, and that's not a contract I'm willing to sign. Now, if Walker was to come to the Mets on a one-year deal, considering the fact that it's Steve Cohen's money, it's not my money, and you're not tied to him long-term, I take a flyer on Taijuan Walker, but I am just as comfortable going into the season with Joey Lucchese as I am signing Taijuan Walker. I don't think that Walker is significantly better than Lucchese. Even though I know Lucchese has struggled recently, I still think he's one of those guys, whether it be a, it's not a great comparison, but if you want to compare Lucchese to what you just gave up in Steven Matz, or what you previously had in guys like, I don't know, Dylan G or Jonathan Neese, he's just one of those guys that can be a fifth starter. It's going to be bad sometimes, going to be good other times, going to give you some innings. I just look at Lucchese and I say, you know what, as a fifth starter, as a placeholder, until Noah Syndergaard comes back or unless one of the other guys in camp can step up, I'm okay with him. And I don't think that Walker would be much different. I'd be feeling the exact same way, where I would be trying to talk myself into it the same way you would last year with a Michael Wacha or a Rick Porcello, and you just don't know what you're going to get. You'd try to get lucky and get by with Walker for some starts, but I don't know if he's ever really going to be the guy that he has been previously, you know, when he was younger in his career. So that's the way I kind of look at the Taijuan Walker thing. If it's a one-year deal, I'm okay with it, because really there's very few bad one-year contracts. If it doesn't work, you just cut the player, eat the money, and you call it a day. So we'll see ultimately if Walker is someone the Mets really decide to go all in on. But personally, I'd rather see them spend that same money on a Trevor Rosenthal. And I'll talk about Rosenthal and also another relief pitcher the Mets have shown some interest in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And if none of that interests you, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors, including their caramel brownie bar, the cookies and cream, which is my favorite, the cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too, as the bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The New York Mets are going to be without Seth Lugo at the start of the season, and that requires them to go out and maybe sign a reliever or two to make up for that loss, because right now you're looking at the bullpen outside of Trevor May and Edwin Diaz, Nothing but question marks. I mean, you could say that you like the Aaron Loop signing. You could say that there is some potential for Miguel Castro to really live up to his stuff, and he's still young enough to do so. And you can say that Jeurys Familia or Dylan Betances can pitch in the back of their baseball cards, but I'm not necessarily buying any of that other than the fact that May and Diaz would be a very good 1-2 punch at the end of the bullpen. So to add some more guys to kind of fill out the middle and the back end, the Mets are still shopping, and Anthony Decomo reports that they are interested in Jeremy Jeffries. Now, Jeffries has had a great career, 11 years, career 3.08 ERA, over 420 innings pitched. He's coming off a very solid bounce-back campaign in 2019. He was not good for the Brewers, pitched to a 5.02 ERA. This past year, he pitched to a 1.54 ERA, had a whip under 1, held opposing batters to a 137 batting average. It was just 23 and a third innings pitch, but it was a 60-game season, so very good year for Jeffries. Now, if you look back at his career, his best season came in 2018 when he was an all-star. He won 8 games that year out of the bullpen, had a 1.29 ERA. His FIP tells you that that ERA was a little bit deceiving, as it was a 2.78 FIP. Again, if you don't know what FIP is, that's fielding independent pitching. His whip was great that year, though, again, under 1. And you look at the rest of his career, and he's always kind of been one of those guys that doesn't strike out the world, but gets guys out. For his career, strikeout per 9 is 8.2. Now, let's compare that to Trevor Rosenthal. For his career, his strikeout per 9 is 12.1. And this is why I'm a little bit more intrigued by Rosenthal. He pitched to, or he has pitched to, a 3.36 ERA throughout his career with 490 strikeouts and 364 innings pitched. He also has 132 career saves, a little bit more closing experience than Jeffries. Then you look at ERA Plus, which is a metric that measures pitchers based on a league average of 100. And now Jeffries has an edge, right? Jeffries' career ERA Plus is 139. Rosenthal's 118. What that tells me is, despite the fact that Rosenthal maybe has better stuff, Jeffries has been a little bit more successful at getting batters out. So it's tough to decide which pitcher you would rather go all in on. But when it comes to relievers in their 30s, I'll take the guy that has the gas that can strike a lot of guys out, and that's Rosenthal. And he's also pretty fresh off Tommy John surgery, which means, in some regards, that elbow is stronger than ever. We've seen Tommy John surgery really become a pretty foolproof surgery, especially as you get a year or so removed from it. So he returned in 2019 off the Tommy John. He tore his UCL in 2017, missed all of 2018. 2019, first year back, of course he struggled. 13.50 ERA. And just over 15 innings pitched. But then this past year, 2020, Rosenthal, everything started to click for him. Pitches to a 1.90 ERA with 38 strikeouts and 23 and two-third innings pitched. Then we go to the peripherals, right? The Baseball Savant percentile rankings that tell us how these pitchers rank across the league. When it comes to exit velocity, neither is great. You have Rosenthal in the 14th percentile, Jeffries in the 23rd percentile. They both get hit hard. Then you go to hard hit percentage. Backs that up even further. For Rosenthal in the 25th percentile. For Jeffries all the way down to the 10th percentile. Here's where things start to change. You go to the expected WOBA. Rosenthal's in the 99th percentile. Expected slugging, he's in the 98th. Expected batting average is in the 99th. Strikeout percentage is in the 99th. Expected ERA is in the 99th, fastball velocity is in the 99th, whip percentage in the 95th percentile, fastball spin, he's in the 87th percentile, his walk percentage, about league average at 47th percentile, and then the barrel percentage at 53. So, Rosenthal has the nasty stuff, and that's why I think a lot of Mets fans have said that's the guy I want you to get, because he can be a really dynamic pitcher at the back end of the Mets bullpen. Jeffries, though, somehow gets the job done. So even though I prefer Rosenthal, if they get Jeffries, I'm not going to be mad at it. It gives them a better option than Tommy Hunter. Even though I think Tommy Hunter might just be okay for the Mets. I would prefer Jeffries to be in camp, gunning for one of those spots in the bullpen. And obviously, if they sign him, he will have one of those spots in the bullpen. And the one metric when it comes to the percentile rankings, or the two, really, where Jeffries is above the 50 percentile, is above average, is expected slugging, where he's in the 63rd percentile, and then barrel percentage, where he's in the 91st percentile. So, for whatever reason, based on his movement of his pitches, batters just don't really square him up. So, maybe that's how he continues to be successful all of these years into his career. If the Mets right now were to go out, sign Rosenthal, sign Jeffries, and just eat the money on Betances' contract, I think they're a better team. Or maybe they do, maybe they DFA, or I think Gazelman still has an option. So they could option Gazelman at the end of camp if they wanted to. And let's just do the math here. If you have Jeffries, Rosenthal, Diaz, May, Familia, Betances, Loop, Miguel Castro, that'd be your eight. If you want to have another lefty, that's maybe where you get rid of Betances. I think the Mets probably have a couple of teams right now lined up they really wanted to. I don't know if they have to attach a prospect, but I think there is a couple of trades maybe on the back burner if they really decided they wanted to dump Familia or Betances. There might be some options out there, but we just saw what they did with Brad Brock where they just ate the salary. I could see that for Betances as well. If nobody wants him, it's just over $6 million. It's not going to hurt Steve Cohen that much if they decide that he's just not going to be a useful pitcher. I'm sure they want to see what he looks like in camp. But right now, you look at the Mets bullpen, and I think those are a couple of additions that make a lot of sense to really put this bullpen a little bit over the top. Because right now, if you're really analyzing each level of this roster, if you look at the outfield, the infield, starting pitching, the bullpen, I would say right now the bullpen is the spot where they probably have the lowest ceiling. There isn't a ton of options right now that you look at and say, man, that could pop off and the Mets can have an unbelievable bullpen. I think that's why they have to add a little bit. When we look at the rotation, you imagine Syndergaard slotting back into it, you can see the Mets having a really dynamic rotation. And we've already talked ad nauseum about how great their position players are. So I think that's maybe where the Mets are right now. Try to add more depth. That's the buzzword all offseason. But it's a good one when you get high upside depth. And I think that's exactly what Rosenthal is. And to a certain extent, I think that's what Jeffries can be for the Mets as well. Anyway, that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan, and follow the show, at Locked On Mets. There you will find another giveaway. I'm giving away a Dominic Smith signed photo. All you have to do is go to the Locked On Mets Twitter page. You'll see all of the rules. You have to follow. You just have to retweet and follow the show's page and my page, and you are entered for a chance to win that raffle. So go ahead and enter for that. And also, if you want to get more of the sports news you need in less time, check out our Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is the only daily podcast breaking down all the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts.